Chapter 9. The singing voice was intoxicating, and I couldn't resist trying to move closer and closer to the sound. I thought I could hear the princesses trying to call me back, but they might as well have been on the moon. The voice sounded like an entire orchestra playing the most beautiful song I'd ever heard, and although the song wasn't in a language I could understand, I could feel the power of the music reverberating throughout my entire body. My eyes adjusted to the bright light that had flashed through the water, and a beautiful mermaid now appeared about 10 feet in front of me. Her long black hair was at least as long as her entire body, and it streamed out behind her through the sparkling waves. It almost looked like it was strung through with diamonds, and I had to put my hand up to my eyes for a moment to shield myself from the light glinting off them. Her tail, which was equally entrancing, was covered with similar jewels that refracted a series of rainbows into the water. The mermaid's top was barely a slip of white fabric, and her breasts were entirely exposed, other than her nipples, which poked through the thin cloth as if they were begging to be rubbed and pinched. When I finally managed to raise my eyes to her face, I saw it was angelic, with wide blue eyes staring at me with intense longing. I could feel in my loins that she desperately wanted me, and it seemed I couldn't help but move forward toward her.
"No, Joe!"
I thought I heard a shout, but I couldn't tell where it was coming from. All I could pay attention to was the mermaid's incredible singing and her powerful blue eyes. Suddenly, though, her eyes changed into deep black whirlpools, but I still couldn't look away. I could also see her incredible diamond tail had turned into that of a slimy black monster, and it stretched out at least 20 feet behind her. However, even as her body changed into a monster, the beautiful voice continued to emerge from her mouth. Then the long black hair I'd admired turned into a nest of sea serpents, still as long again as her body. The snakes grew outward from her head, and each one had a gaping mouth filled with razor-sharp teeth. The snakes swam toward me now, and were almost close enough to bite me with their horrible mouths, and I put up my hands to protect my face. The witch stopped singing suddenly, so I dropped my hands, but it was impossible for me to tear my eyes away from her, even as she morphed into a hideous hag. Her beautiful visage melted away, and her true face was exposed, which was more terrifying than any other woman I'd ever seen. She was greenish, like the Wicked Witch of the West, but her face was more monster than human, and her skin almost seemed to be part of the water itself as it melted and reformed in front of my eyes. Then Eudora opened her mouth to hiss at me, and I could see a series of teeth which ended in points like daggers and were set into several rows like the mouth of a shark. She snapped out at me like one of her snakes before her mouth opened into a hideous grin.
"Hello, hero!"
She somehow both hissed and screamed at the same time, and her voice was dripping with sarcasm.
"The sea is no place for you. Run back up to the land where you came from and bring the princesses with you before you're all destroyed."
I opened my mouth to respond, but it was as if I were paralyzed. I tried with every ounce of my being to say something back to the witch, but my entire body was frozen. It felt like I was being drawn closer and closer to the snakes that stretched out toward my face, but I couldn't move to protect myself. Just then, a series of blue and golden sparks flashed in front of my eyes. I could instantly move again, and I shook my head to try to clear the fog. I thought maybe this whole thing had been a nightmare, but the hands that now rested on my arms felt real, and I tried to concentrate on the feeling of warmth they were radiating into my body.
"Joe!"
a voice shouted, and I thought through my daze that Jessamine was talking to me. I was immediately relieved to recognize someone other than the sea witch, and I reached out to either side of my body. I felt the solid forms of Sienna and Jessamine in my arms, and I was finally able to gasp with relief.
"What the fuck just happened?"
"She tried to get you,"
Sienna told me, and when I was able to raise my eyes and look in front of me, I saw the witch floated in front of us with a hideous snarl on her face.
"Eudora, move away from my friends!"
Ariana shouted, and she sounded fiercer than I'd ever heard her before. The redhead mermaid pointed her trident at the witch's face, and Sienna and Jessamine pulled out their weapons as well. From the depths of my daze, I was suddenly reminded of the sword on my belt, so I yanked it out and held it up in the water in front of the witch, and the purple stone flashed for a moment. However, Eudora just laughed, and it was so high-pitched I had to cover my ears. I didn't want to look at her again, but my brain still wanted to make some sense of the way her face kept changing in front of me, and it almost looked like it was morphing back and forth between the former beautiful mermaid and the hideous sea hag. The only constants were those terrible rows of shark-like teeth.
It gets worse than this,
Eudora jeered, and suddenly something massive started to emerge from the sea floor. The ground split into a series of cracks, like it had been through a massive earthquake, and a hole at least 20 feet across opened up before us. I held my arms back against the princesses because I was afraid we were going to be swallowed whole, but I soon realized we had more to fear from what was emerging from the space than the hole itself.
Oh, shit! What was that?
It's Morgar,
Ariana replied in a grim tone.
He's huge, and he likes to make dramatic entrances.
I could first see the head of a giant eel with glowing yellow eyes emerge from the hole in the ground, and then my heart froze in my chest as the rest of his body began to slither out. The giant monster had to be at least 15 feet tall, and he towered over us.
My baby!
The sea witch crowed, and she reached out a hand to the giant eel. The huge monster bent down his head to her hand, and she scratched him under his chin as if he were a house cat.
You're so precious, my love. We're gonna take care of these princesses, aren't we?
Morgar almost sounded like he was purring for a moment, but then he stared at the princesses and I with his bright yellow eyes and roared. The sound vibrated my entire body and echoed through the waves, and I shuddered.
Fuck this,
Sienna said as she pointed her sword and swam closer to Eudora.
You want to end this fight now?
I haven't even gotten started.
The sea witch cackled, and she somehow blasted a wave forward into Sienna's chest and pushed her back toward our group. Then she looked at me again, and I could feel my heart pounding even harder in my chest.
You, hero. Don't think I don't know who you are. You all think this legend is gonna save you, but you're nowhere near powerful enough to fight me, let alone Chernabog.
Had she just said Chernabog? I was surprised to hear that name down here, since Ariana didn't seem to be aware of what was happening up on the surface. It was starting to seem like all the villains we encountered were interconnected, though I wasn't sure how yet.
I don't care who I have to fight. I'm gonna figure out a way to protect my people if it's the last thing I do. Your people are weaklings. Let me show you exactly what I think of your people. Morgar, attack!
The humongous eel raised his tail high, and, like Ariana had described to us earlier, a huge blast of electricity shot out through the water. The blast traveled at least 1,000 feet through the water and hit the small coral house in practically an instant. I could see shocks run up its walls in tree-like patterns, and the impact was enough to blow the colorful shell roof into fragments. I could hear the princess's gasp next to me, and we all stared at the small destroyed home in shock. I hope no one was inside.
That's what we do to mermaids around here.
Eudora bared her rows of teeth in a hideous grin.
You'll never win, Your Highness, no matter how hard you fight.
Suddenly, I saw a young mermaid emerge from the destroyed home with a small child in her arms, and I didn't think I'd ever been more relieved.
Oh, thank the gods! They're alive!
Ariana gasped and clutched at her chest. We need to end this bitch, I growled as I hefted Genie's wrath in my hands. But first, we needed to take out her monstrously ugly fucking pet. So I held out Genie's wrath and pointed it at Morgar, and a stream of purple sparks flew through the water and directly hit his body. The massive beast roared loudly as if in pain, but the blow barely seemed to make a dent in the huge creature. Fuck, this bastard was strong.
Ooh, the hero is feisty. I like that in a man.
If the witch had eyelashes surrounding those crazy whirlpool eyes, I couldn't see them. But regardless, I could have sworn she was trying to bat them at me. "Too bad I don't go for ugly sea hags," I growled as I held up Jeannie's wrath again. And this time, I aimed it at the hideous witch's face. Then I shot a blast of purple sparks directly at her. We were only about 10 yards apart now, which was the closest range at which I'd ever used the weapon. Nonetheless, Eudora simply put up a hand and batted the sparks away as if they were a mosquito. Shit.
"Let's try one more time, Joe,"
Sienna told me, and I knew she was going to try to stop time to assist me. The blonde princess cast her spell, and I could see Morgar freeze for a moment. Before I could strike out again, however, Eudora merely laughed and shook her head, and it was apparent Sienna's spell had no effect on the sea hag since she could still move. Then the ocean whirled back into action, and the giant eel roared again.
"Oh, this would be a fun battle, I can tell. But I have other things to destroy right now. Morgar, come back with me. But first, show them one last trick."
The great monster opened his mouth, and a huge cloud of green liquid spewed out of his maw and headed right for us.
"Is that the poison?"
Sienna shouted.
"Yes!"
Ariana called out as her face paled, and I thought for a minute we might be done for. But fuck that, I wasn't going to let this bitch and her little pet harm my women. So I raised my giant golden sword, and to my shock and amazement, purple lightning crackled to life along the blade. The bolts connected to each other and grew until they formed a tightly woven web of electricity several feet across. Then the web seemed to project out of the blade several feet, and the green cloud of poison slammed into the magical shield with a hissing sound. I gritted my teeth as the toxic plume bared down on the crackling wall of electricity, and I watched as the bolts of power seemed to wrap around the cloud and compress it into a ball-like shape. Then I used all my strength to shove it away. I swung my sword like a batter going for a grand slam, and the poisonous cloud spun away from me and back toward Eudora.
"What?"
The sea hag gasped as her eyes widened, but before she could move a muscle, the green cloud crashed into her body. Eudora shrieked as violet bolts of magic struck her along with the poison, and her limbs jerked as the electricity shot through her body. Her skin blackened in random patches wherever the magic landed, and her mouth opened in a silent scream. Then she began to hack violently as she inhaled the toxins of her pet's poisonous cloud. Morgar roared in fury, but his yellow eyes darted from me to his mistress, and I could tell he didn't know whether to attack me or aid Eudora. "How's that for a taste of your own medicine?" I growled as I readied Jeannie's wrath for another strike.
"Don't mistake luck for skill,"
the sea hag coughed, and I noticed her skin was paling below the charred wounds my electrical attack had left behind.
"I'll see you again soon, hero, and next time you won't be so lucky."
And suddenly, in a flash, the witch and her minion were gone. The hole in the seabed was still there, however, and I could see the mermaid who'd escaped her home still floating in place in shock.
"Joe,"
Jessamine breathed as she reached out and grabbed my arm.
"That was amazing."
"Yeah, you totally fried that bitch. And she didn't look so good after inhaling that green cloud. Good fucking riddance."
"Yes, Joe, you are incredible,"
Ariana murmured, and her aqua eyes were wide with awe as she stared at me for a long moment. Then her gaze drifted to the side and her pink lips pursed together.
"But now, we need to help her."
I followed her eyes toward the lone mermaid floating outside the destroyed cottage, and I nodded. "Yes, let's go check on her," I agreed, and Ariana began to swim toward the ruined house, with Jessamine, Sienna, and I trailing behind the mermaid. We swam across the fields of crops and reached the young mother, who was staring out into the distance with a lost expression. It was clear she was in shock, since her face was completely blank. Long brown hair streamed into her eyes, but she didn't bother to push it away.
"My son,"
the mermaid said quietly, and she held out the young merman to Ariana. My wives and I craned our necks for a moment to see the boy, who couldn't have been more than 2 or 3, but he appeared unharmed. He cuddled up against the red-haired princess's chest and sucked his thumb.
"It's okay, see?"
Ariana told the brown-haired mermaid in a soothing tone.
"He's all right. Your boy is going to be all right. What's your name?
I'm Cordelia,
she replied, and she looked at the redhead with terrified eyes.
My house is totally gone. My husband disappeared a week ago, and my son and I have been alone since then. We were hiding out from everything, and then this attack came.
We will search for your husband, and I will give you and your son a room at the palace for as long as you need it,
Ariana said firmly, and I could tell she was trying to comfort Cordelia, whose eyes had filled with tears.
Okay.
The brunette mermaid sniffled, and she finally brushed the hair back from her face. Then she looked at Ariana with gratitude and bowed her head before she began to speak again.
Your Highness, you're so kind. I didn't even greet you properly. I must express my deepest apologies.
I don't mean to speak for Ariana, but your home was just destroyed,
Jessamine cut in.
You are allowed more than a little grace in times of trouble.
Thank you,
Cordelia said, and she blinked rapidly as she tried to control her tears.
I know Princess Ariana will lead us to victory.
Cordelia, do you mind if we look inside your home for a moment? I asked, because I wanted to see what kind of damage the attack had caused.
Of course,
she nodded, and her eyes immediately filled up again.
I know it isn't much, but it was ours, and it was all we had.
I'm so sorry this has happened to you,
Ariana consoled and put an arm around her.
We will rebuild as quickly as we can, and you are under royal protection from now on.
I swam into the house to see the damage, and Jessamine and Sienna followed behind me while Ariana remained outside with Cordelia. The roof had been completely destroyed by Morgar's blast, and the remains of colorful shells littered the ground. Smaller pieces of debris floated up through the water, and I waved my hand in front of my face to clear the way. The room had been filled with simple furniture carved out of thick, black rock, and most of the pieces were now shattered. It looked like the structure was going to need to be completely rebuilt, and I felt incredibly sad for the young mermaid and her family.
This is awful,
Sienna said, with a catch in her voice.
We need to talk more about how we're going to help Ariana fight these bastards, because they're really strong. Did you see how Eudora fought back against my time magic?
I know,
Jessamine said in a bleak tone of voice.
She seems even stronger than Jamar, and Morgar is just... I've never seen anything like him. He's a monster.
Hey, it's going to be okay, I told my wives in my bravest voice. There's nothing we haven't been able to figure out yet, and I'm sure we're going to be able to help Ariana.
Speaking of Ariana, I was hoping to avoid this, but I think we might have to talk to her about the ritual sooner rather than later.
Sienna sighed, and if the blonde was talking about the marriage rites, I knew it had to be serious, since I'd never heard her joke about them like Jessamine did.
Ariana seemed so shy and quiet, and I didn't want to scare her, but I think we need her to join us for strength.
I agree, of course. I don't know how exactly to bring it up, but it doesn't seem like we're strong enough without her yet. Joy's definitely more powerful than ever, and I could see his hits getting to Morgar, but I'd like to be able to back him up.
Well, at least she was a married woman at one point,
Sienna commented, but I could tell the blonde was still doubtful.
In any case, I don't think we have any choice but to trust her now. She's clearly telling the truth about the troubles in her kingdom, so if she's really going to be able to help us, I think Ariana needs to find out what's going on.
I think the only way to tell if she's one of the princesses of legend is to have her touch Joe the same way she touched you, Sienna,
Jessamine suggested. In order to convince Sienna I was really the hero, she needed to feel the literal sparks that passed between our hands when we touched. And I hoped the same thing happened with the redhead mermaid. We swam out of the small cottage and Ariana looked over at me.
How does the house look?
She asked in a low voice. Unfortunately, I had no choice but to shake my head sadly. The mermaid princess frowned and put her arm tighter around Cordelia, who had her son back in her own arms again.
Do you want to help me accompany Cordelia back to the palace? I was hoping to give her a place to rest and also start an investigation into her husband's disappearance.
Of course,
Jessamine replied, and we began swimming back toward the giant white structure. As we traveled, the princesses kept up a steady stream of chatter about the fish we passed, the food we were going to eat for dinner, and anything else they could think of to keep Cordelia's mind off what had just happened to her. As always, I admired my wife's constant kindness in the face of adversity. When we reached the palace, Ariana lifted the magic barrier, and then we passed the brown-haired mermaid off to one of Ariana's handmaids, who promised the red-haired princess she would feed Cordelia and her child a good meal, and set them up in one of the palace's many bedchambers. We returned to Ariana's chambers, and us humans flipped the switches on our leg armor to settle down on the furniture with a chorus of sighs. "Well, we definitely need to come up with a plan," I told the princesses. Sienna had buried her head in her hands with exhaustion. Jessamine wore a sad, weary expression, and, as was often the case, Ariana just looked like she was deep in thought.
"I wonder. I saw the way your sword hurt Morgar, Joe, and the way you were able to deflect the cloud of poison back toward Eudora. That's the strongest fighting I've seen since my father left, and maybe ever."
"Ariana, I've noticed you don't seem to travel with guards. Is there a reason?"
"Well, a lot of my soldiers are off protecting my father, and I have most of my other guards out patrolling the kingdom and assisting commoners. I suppose I may have been a little too brave, however."
"Well, you have us now. And I don't mean to boast about my husband, but Joe is way more powerful than any ordinary guard I've ever seen."
"I have to admit, I've been very curious about your sword, Joe, and how you got so powerful,"
Ariana told me, and then she addressed the other two princesses.
"Also, I saw the way the two of you worked together to bring Joe out of his trance. There is clearly more going on here than I realize."
"Well, it's kind of a long story,"
Sienna said, and she looked at me and Jessamine. Ariana caught the glance that passed between us, and she seemed thoughtful.
"I have time to listen. So why don't we have dinner sent up, and we can talk more about your marriage?"
the redhead said, and then she blushed.
"Of course, it may be personal, which I understand."
She had no idea. Ariana left the room for a moment to call out to one of her servants, and I had a question for Jessamine and Sienna. "Okay, who's going to tell her? It definitely shouldn't be me, because I think it needs to come from a woman."
I think it should be you, Sienna,"
Jessamine suggested with a bashful smile.
"I just think you have the right personality for it. I get too excited about it, and I don't want to scare her."
"Me? You're gonna make me do it? I was the most doubtful of all."
"And that's why you can convince her. Definitely you, Sienna. And she's coming back."
"Dinner will be up in a moment,"
Ariana told us as she swam back into the room with a smile.
"After everything bad that's happened, I'm happy to be back here. We now have the chance to discuss things, and I'm glad you're going to get a chance to taste some of my kingdom's delicacies. I saw the way you looked at the kelp, but you're going to find out how good it really is."
A servant came in with a large tray of food, and he set it down on a table that sat in the middle of the four of us. The tray contained four small bottles of golden liquid, and Ariana passed them around. "Cheers," I said, and I unscrewed my bottle and took a large gulp of the beverage before I immediately recognized the sweetness. It's rum, isn't it?"
"It's the drink of the seas,"
Ariana informed me with a small smile and clinked her bottle against mine.
"Let's eat first, and then we can talk about things."
The red-haired princess hadn't been lying about the food, which was surprisingly delicious. A thick white steak of fish that reminded me of halibut tasted like it was grilled to perfection, though I wasn't sure how exactly they'd achieved the effect underwater, unless they had magical fire that worked beneath the sea. The colorful kelp was tossed in what tasted like some sort of sweet vinaigrette, and a bowl of sugared sea berries on the side completed the meal. I thought it was amazing they'd been able to season the oceany taste out of the food so thoroughly, though everything had a pleasantly salty tang. I popped one last berry into my mouth and leaned back with a groan. "Ariana, that was incredible." "You weren't kidding. I'm sorry I ever made fun of kelp."
"I'm glad I could convince you, Joe."
She stared directly at me with her turquoise eyes for a moment before she blushed and looked away.
"It's very important to me that you're happy here in my kingdom, And I'm so grateful we're going to try to come up with a plan to defeat Eudora and Morgar. So, about that...
Sienna began with a frown.
I think it's time we teach you more about the legend of the great hero.
Of course. I would love to learn more about the folklore of the surface peoples.
I know we told you a little bit about the genie and the bonding ritual, and that we're now married to Joe.
The blonde princess continued.
We've already seen your magic, and we know you're very powerful.
To be honest, I used to be a lot more powerful. I know I told you Eudora now sings with my voice, and I told you about how she hypnotized my father, and then it happened again with Joe today. I actually used to be able to hypnotize people with my voice, too. It was mostly men, but not exclusively.
So, one question we need to answer is how we can get your voice back.
Yes, that's right. It was a strong power I really do miss.
Regardless of your singing powers, the way you've managed to create the shield around your palace is nothing short of incredible. Not to mention your mermaid's kiss skill. You obviously have great talents already, not to mention your potential.
Potential?
Ariana asked with a puzzled look on her face.
What do you mean by that?
I know this is going to sound weird, but would you mind holding Joe's hand for a moment?
Sienna asked the redhead.
No, of course not. I would do anything, Joe. I mean, you need.
I reached out a hand to the red-haired beauty, and I thought her porcelain face was going to catch on fire. She reached out a dainty hand and placed it in my own, and a faint green spark flashed in front of my eyes. She quickly let go of me, but not before a hot rush came over my face.
I felt something. It wasn't something I've ever felt before, and I'm not sure what it means. Can you tell me?
Jessamine and Sienna looked at each other and nodded before Sienna began to speak again.
Joe, you felt the spark, right?
Sienna began, and I nodded to confirm.
Ariana, if you felt a spark when you touched hands with Joe, that means we now know you are one of the princesses who must bond with the hero. It seems like you've felt alone down here, but our destinies are actually knitted together very tightly.
Yes, I have always had some magical talents as a princess, but nothing could ever compare to the strength I've had since I've bonded with Joe. And truthfully, my bond is just as strong with Sienna as well. The two of us are like sisters now.
So, when you say bond...
Ariana began to speak, but she trailed off.
Let me handle this one, Jessamine.
Sienna told her sister-wife before she faced the mermaid.
Well, the thing about the bonding ritual is it's very intimate. Let's just say that to become man and wife, you have to become very intimate and, you know.
Sienna trailed off and blushed a bit, which was a first, since the blonde didn't usually have trouble getting words out. Nonetheless, there was no way in hell I was going to step into this conversation. Ariana downed her glass of rum, and I thought to myself maybe she was a little less delicate than I'd realized.
Yes. I believe I know what you mean,
the redhead said in a brave voice.
And you say your powers have increased since you completed this ritual?
Yes. I have the gift of time magic, which you saw a little bit of before, and Jessamine has the gift of powerful illusions. Since we've become Joe's wives, I have, usually in any case, been able to hold my time magic for much longer, and Jessamine has been able to create even more complex illusions that actually change the shape and weight of things. I know this topic may be difficult for you, and I completely understand, but I wouldn't be broaching it with you if I didn't think there was something to it.
So... you're saying you believe if I marry Joe, we will be able to defeat Morgar and Eudora together?
Ariana tried to clarify.
Yes, that's right.
Sienna said with a nod.
Although, I hope I made clear you're marrying me and Jessamine as well. We'll be sister wives.
If you're worried about the ritual itself, I just want you to know we can all be there to help. And it can be very pleasurable.
Yes, I think I understand. I wonder if there are any books in the palace library that will help me understand this phenomenon.
Okay.
Sienna nodded with relief.
That wasn't as bad as I thought. Ariana, I hope you will consider what I told you.
I will,
the redhead said, and she glanced up at me briefly from under her eyelashes. All of this talk of the ritual was sending major shivers up my spine. But then I saw something blue swim into the room through one of the open windows. Hey, what's that? I asked, and I couldn't wait to change the topic of conversation. I looked over and I saw a creature that looked basically like a seahorse from home, except it was about 5 times larger and covered in iridescent bright turquoise scales.
Hi, Callie!
Ariana exclaimed a little too brightly, and I suspected she was also glad for the interruption.
Jessamine, Sienna, Joe, this is my seahorse, Callie. She likes to roam free a lot, but she might have something to tell me.
The large blue seahorse swam over to Ariana and made a small gesture with her head, and the redhead nodded. I wasn't exactly sure how the princesses could communicate so well with their animals, but it seemed almost telepathic at times. I suddenly noticed Ariana looked pale. Is everything okay? I asked her.
No, not exactly,
she replied in a trembling voice.
It's my advisor, Marinus, who's been poisoned. I think we need to get to him quickly.